another IFRS 9 question.
Yep, so agenda paper 8. In this paper, the staff analysed the response to a question on how an entity applies requirements in IFRS 9 in its consolidated group financial statements when its subsidiary is held for sale in accordance with IFRS 5. The submission asks two questions. The first question is when the group should discontinue cash flow hedge accounting for forecast transactions of a subsidiary that are expected to occur after the subsidiary is disposed of. The second question is where a subsidiary of a group holds financial assets within the business model of holding to collect contractual cash flows as described by IFRS 9, whether the group should treat the business model of the subsidiary as no longer held to collect when the subsidiary is classified as held for sale. The staff is of the view that the same principle applies to both questions. A reporting entity should assess whether the requirements of IFRS 9 are met from the reporting entity perspective. For the purpose of consolidated financial statements of a group, it is the group perspective that matters. In consolidated financial statements, the parent and its subsidiary are presented as those of a single economic entity. As such, the parent's decision to sell its subsidiary and the consequences of that decision should be reflected. This is demonstrated through the example provided by IFRS 9, which we discussed in the agenda paper. The example shows that the application of IFRS 9 at the group level could result in different outcomes as compared with the application at the subsidiary level. In the example provided in the submission, the forecast transaction of the subsidiary are expected to occur after the subsidiary is sold, which means from the group perspective, the forecast transactions are no longer highly probable and no longer expected to affect the group's profit or loss by the time they occur. Similarly, in the second question, the assessment regarding business model for the purpose of consolidated financial statements is performed from group perspective. One thing the staff would like to highlight is that the question we are answering here is from whose perspective is an assessment is done, not when the condition for a change in business model are satisfied, which will be based on facts and circumstances. As with the previous issue, because IFRS 9 is a new standard whose effective date has not yet been reached, we think it should be referred to the board for its discussion. We would appreciate any comments and observations from the interpretation committee regarding the clarity of the language used in the standard and any advice for the board.
So the 30,000 foot level is whose perspective, the group perspective or the subsidiary's perspective?
Yeah, first of all, I have a question. I mean, we focus on IFRS 9, however, I also guess it is a topic for IS 39 and 32. So my question would be, is it correct that there was no outreach how this might affect the count accounting? I mean, cash flow hedges we have also according to 39 and 32. So in theory, the question is the same, isn't it?
Possible if you look at it, but the question came in the context of 9 and business model, so we haven't done outreach, but if you think that's the thing, I would agree with you that if you are under 39, cash flow hedging, the similar requirements would apply.
Yeah. So that would mean, for me, it would be very interesting to see how companies deal with this topic under 39, because I assume the underlying question, whether the cash flows realize later on, at a point in time when the subsidiary is already deconsolidated or whether it is consolidated, remains the same. On the other hand, I could consider other questions related to that. For example, consider the categories we have and the category held to maturity. So at the point in time, I say I classify something as held for sale within the consolidated financial statement. Would it be correct to classify financial assets as held to maturity, although they are part of a subsidiary to be divested? And this then could also come up with measurement issues. I would bet, I'm not sure, I would bet that companies have not classified or reclassified these instruments so far. But the only thing I intend to mention is that the topic is broader than just within that submission. And it also would have effects on the count, or could have effects on companies doing their count accounting on their 32 and 39. And then with a gender decision, this would mean that, challenging conclusions could be drawn on the count accounting.
But there are circumstances, and I'm looking at the staff just off the cuff, where, for example, an IAS 32, is it not already very clear that you have to take into account the group perspective when you're classifying instruments in the consolidated financial statements? Isn't it not specific in 32?
There is a specific paragraph in 32 which clearly says you take a different perspective, and the perspective can change from individual company to group perspective.
Your general point is a fair one, because
fair
I think
one.
It's a broader question. Yeah. But in a sense, that's why I think the entry-level question is, do you agree?
Well, that's a group
which perspective do you think it should be in the consolidated financial statements? Because I think that's a broader IFRS issue, and then there's application consequences.
Yeah, and therefore I specifically mentioned also the category held to maturities and
so
on. So it is a little bit broader than just within the submission. Technically, I have one aspect to with regard to paragraph 30. And in paragraph 30, you say, in other words, it may be possible for a change in business model to occur after the held for sale classification. So if I really consider that view, that I have something within a subsidiary, and then I said I have to the held for sale classification, I really struggle a little bit with the conclusion that this change could happen after the held for sale classification. So I would always argue then the held for sale classification is the latest point in time with regard to the change in the business model. But this is just a side.
Facts and circumstances. Yeah. I do not deny that.
Bonnie.
I had very similar comments to Martin, and maybe that's just a preparer's kind of viewpoint, that this seems to be a broader issue. As I was reading through the paper, I was very firmly of the view that you wouldn't discontinue hedge accounting, you wouldn't make a change in the subsidiary. However, as I read through the staff's analysis, that really caused me to think differently. And I also agree with Martin that I think it would be very important to do outreach on this, because I suspect, as he does, that there would be a very large impact on current accounting, because I don't think that
people have thought about
it. I don't think people are thinking about it in this way. I really don't. And that's I was very sure in my conclusions kind of that I reached, you know, as I was reading through the first couple of paragraphs, and then, you know, as I continued on, it got me a little bit worried, actually.
Are there words in our literature that you think would cause that confusion? Because it says, I think IFRS 9 it's slightly different because it's new, but I see what people say, but if I look at the cash flow hedge accounting requirements, and it says that the transaction needs to be a highly probable forecast transaction, and I'm preparing the consolidated financial statements. Is there something specific that you think would have made people think otherwise?
I guess from my perspective, it is still a highly probable forecasted transaction.
But not for the reporting entity, but you wouldn't have...
It is. It's just that the entity won't be mine when it's settled.
But
so I would... But I guess the assessment on whether or not the transaction will happen is it has not changed. It's under whose ownership does it happen. So that's how I would have looked at it. So to me, it's not entirely clear that you would automatically de-designate.
Can I just make one clarification? Because you said we are not questioning, absolutely, the question is whose P&L and whose perspective.
Yep.
So the hedge accounting will certainly continue at the subsidiary level because nothing's changed.
Right.
It's when you consolidate and you look at a group perspective, that's when the challenge comes in, because it's no longer from the group's P&L. So I just wanted to clarify that. We are not saying that you cannot get hedge accounting at the sub level.
No, I understand perfectly, and that the staff's assessment and the analysis is very clear to me. I would not have come to that conclusion independent of the staff's analysis, is my point.
Just wanted to clarify.
That's helpful. Thank you. Which one?
Yeah, I had two questions for the staff, but those questions, they probably just illustrate the fact that it's a broader question. The first one is a rather, I consider it as a rather easy one, but what about if in paragraph 6, the example would change slightly, and B, some of which include items from subsidiary B that are H with derivatives entered into by mother company A.
Sorry?
Would it change any perspective from, in your analysis, or?
Can I understand?
You want me to repeat? Yeah, sure. Some of which include items from subsidiary B that are hedged with derivatives entered into by mother company A. Mm.
Yeah, no, so I don't think that was changing.
I don't think it changes.
I don't think either. Yeah. That's all. I just wanted to make sure. And the other question is, if you stick to the example, what if the hedging is sold?
Sorry.
I mean, so you have subsidiary B having entered into hedging instrument to hedge, to hedge an FX risk, for instance. And what if this hedging
instrument is exited?
Is sold
to somebody else?
Is sold to the company you're selling your subsidiary. It's part of the transaction price. Sorry. You see what I mean?
Yes, I do see what you mean, but I think that the focus from the paper, from what I understand, is, which I agree with, is that the question is, do you have a highly probable forecast transaction? So the fact that both the transaction and the derivative might be in the subsidiary isn't really the question. I think the question is really, do you have an eligible hedged item to begin with? Mm-hmm. So I don't think it would change the analysis either. John?
I mean, I agree with the technical analysis, but I also agree with what Bonnie says. I think it would be important to do outreach on this because practice is not always in accordance with this analysis. And I think for the reasons are that people still conclude that the transaction is going to occur, and therefore because the transaction is going to occur, you continue to hedge it.
And you're talking about the cash flow hedge accounting.
The cash flow hedge accounting one. Obviously, the business model one is new under IFRS 9, so I don't got any experience. Just in relation to the paper, I mean, the two views are that you would cease hedge accounting at the date it's reclassified as held for sale. I think you're going to cease long before that because you're highly probable.
Yes.
Your test to be reclassified as held for sale is going to be well after you cease to be highly probable that the transaction is going to be your transaction. So I do think the dates aren't aligned at all.
Bruce?
Thanks. I was just going to make a comment that, two things. Firstly, this is obviously a broader issue. I mean, the other one I was thinking about were things like IAS 12, where the manner of recovery could now also be an issue once you decide to sell something. The other one was interesting. I had asked one of my prepared clients their view on this. It was quite interesting as they gave me two different scenarios, which shouldn't have got a different answer than their minds did. The one was where they had cash flow hedging in a subsidiary, and the other one where they had the derivative and the hedged item in two different subsidiaries, and they were selling the one, and then they felt, well, maybe we should discontinue. Now, you shouldn't get to a different answer, but the reality is I think that if we do the outreach, we're going to find that in a lot of situations, I think people would do that. They would continue the hedge accounting in the one, but where they're in the item and the instrument are different, they would discontinue it. And as we're saying, from a group perspective, we shouldn't be getting to a different answer. So I just think that I think there's going to be a lot of diversity on this.
Very similar thoughts, and I understand the staff's analysis completely in connection with cash flow hedges. I share Bonnie's observation or concern that I suspect people just aren't thinking about it that way in practice, so it would be good to understand what is actually happening, particularly if what finally comes out of this is a clarification that hedge accounting should be discontinued. And as John says, I think the forecast transaction has to be highly probable. You get to held for sale when it's highly probable, then it's probably going to be quite a long time before you get to held for sale that you might have to discontinue hedge accounting. The other thing that I wondered about, and it's obviously new, so perhaps people haven't thought about the interaction with the business model notion in IFRS 9. I look at, well, if you look at it from a group perspective, and you're going to sell that business, how would the guidance on reclassifying financial assets actually work? Because it says change your business model, an entity either begins or ceases to perform an activity, blah, 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 when the entity has acquired, disposed of, or terminated. So that's saying has done it.
Yep.
But then you're perhaps triggering thinking that you need to think about whether it's still a model that's held to collect. But then B4.4.1 says when you have terminated. So I just wondered about the interaction. And I know that's not the question that's been asked, but it's probably worth just reflecting on how the decision that you could end up having to reconsider the business model before the disposal would intersect with the assessment of whether or not you still met the held to collect.
Yeah, and I think that's a fair assessment, because I think you can have a situation where if I'm looking at the classification of new assets on initial recognition, I might be thinking about the business model differently because of my strategy for the subsidiary. Mm-hmm. But that's a separate question to, do I have a reclassification event for my existing assets that I've already classified? And yes. I think that's why we sort of were saying that the key question is whose perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Then you need to apply 9, but I think, yes, there's a distinction between those two questions.
I think the staff has done a good job on the focus on the technical analysis and describing the group perspective versus local perspective. By the way, when you go and do that outreach on current practice, it's anywhere in 39 that intent is involved. So it's not just cash flow hedge, it's its own use derivatives, it's held to maturity securities.
And there was an IGC there, if I'm not very much mistaken, Bob.
On the second issue, the business model, again, don't disagree with the staff's analysis, doing it from the group perspective, but now in some initial thoughts on applying IFRS 9, I've heard different views on that yes, overall, IFRS 9 is a group perspective, but within this specific area, the business model, there's some thoughts that, no, that one's different, that's a local model. You look at the from a local standpoint, because some of the words in there, and sorry, you try to do something good and you get punished for it, but there's an example in 4.4.1b, which talks about a financial services company is ceasing to operate a retail mortgage business, and it's the retail mortgage business locally being ceased is kind of further support for, well, that's really from a local perspective. So I don't disagree with your analysis, but I just think it should be aware that there are some other views out there.
Okay. That's interesting, because I thought that it was pretty clear that it was a group perspective, and it's always interesting to see how these examples get read, and that's very helpful to know, because I presume we didn't think there would be a difference between the group and the individual perspective in that case B, right? Financial service firm thinks that, the parent thinks something different, the same, whereas the harder one is this disposal situation where the subsidiary is merely doing its normal business, it hasn't changed anything, but its parents decided to do something.
Because in that example, right, both would then have it as
the same closed down perspective.
Yes, and now who's caused, which one caused what, right? Mm-hmm.
So if we were to be helpful, it would have said then in the group perspective that was consistent, then that would be complete.
That would clear.
Examples always end us in problems.
Yeah. Examples never help.
Andrew.
From my perspective, when I look at the staff paper, I look at the analysis and I feel fairly comfortable with it. The thing, however, and it echoes a number of the comments that others have made, that when I was talking to a number of people before this meeting, a whole range of different views started to emerge of what the words actually meant. and whether, for example, in the hedging one, you could say, well, does the transaction affect profit or loss or not? Well, even though I won't have the hedged item in the end, it's going to affect profit or loss, so maybe I'm in. Also, in Bruce's one, I had exactly the same comment of which subsidiary is it in and does it make a difference? So my sense in this one is, it's likely that in practice quite a lot of people out there are not joining the dots in the guidance, and that's why I share the view of others that some further outreach to see what people are doing at the moment is quite important, because it is much wider ranging than the slightly narrow points that have been raised here, and it does come into current practice.
Thank you. Carl.
Thanks. I'm comfortable with the staff's analysis. I'm not sure if it is a fact-based analysis. I think we have clear principles, clear standard, and I'm not sure if we should engage further in fact-based analysis. I'm concerned about that.
I understand.
Carl.
I do agree with what Carl just said. I mean, when you read the paper, the answer is pretty clear at the end, for sure. Even though there might be situations,
That's useful. So if I understand correctly what people are telling me, I think most people could follow the analysis in the paper and understood where it all landed. But some people are flagging, they think that may not be where people are landing today in the case of cash flow hedge accounting in particular. So in terms of feeding back to the board, maybe both of those are useful pieces of information and maybe what we should be thinking about. I'd hope on the IFRS 9 side of things, if we needed to do anything, it could be a lighter touch, educational material, something like that, perhaps we could think about, just to make sure everyone's on the same page and to make sure people aren't reading too much into some of our examples. On the cash flow hedge accounting, maybe it's a little bit more along the lines of where we got to on the earlier issue where we had the difference in terms of what people might be doing, so the modification. So it might be clear in the words, but if it's not, what practice is, do we need to do a little bit more to make sure people are doing the right thing and to reduce diversity? So maybe if we give that feedback to the board, if they thought we needed to do something more, we might, as part of that, do some outreach in terms of diversity and then think about whether something more visible and sort of authoritative needed to be done, given where practice is, but we can loop back on that if we need to.
Yep.
Bonnie?
I suspect Martin might have a similar comment, but I'm not sure. I think I completely agree that outreach needs to be done. I would, on this specific issue for sure, I suspect there might be some broader issues. So I guess the question maybe to the board or maybe the advice is that on this one, yes, but I think ensuring that IFRS 10 is completely understood as to the single entity and the consolidation and how all of the other standards, yep, which might be impactful, are also viewed, which is a bit outside of this. So I don't know if you can maybe scope them separately. One's an IFRS 10 issue, maybe one's an IFRS 9 issue. But
That was an interesting observation, actually, and I have to say it surprises me a little bit, which always shows that you're sort of coming with your own conceptual framework in a sense. So I think we need to think a little bit more as an organisation about whether or not it's clear enough this distinction between the group perspective and the standalone perspective for consolidated financial statements. And obviously there's consequences of that, but I'd be surprised if that wasn't always the expectation. So we might need to do something just to make sure that's clear.
I think one reaction to that. I think one of the challenges I have is from an American point of view, we don't normally have the concept of parent company financials. And so we always, from a U.S. point of view, think about from a consolidated. But the fact that this seems a little counterintuitive to me, because I think of kind of a parent company, obviously the subsidiaries, you have the consolidation adjustments and other things, but I guess I wouldn't always push down the parent's view into all the subsidiary. For instance, and maybe this isn't a good example, but I think about push down accounting. That is something that is leveraged under US GAAP. In other words, you take the parent company's basis and the and the standalone financials, and maybe this is a little bit different here because you're looking at two different views, but I guess that's maybe where I am thinking a little bit differently about this concept in particular.
Yeah, quite similar view. I mean, we said that IFRS 5 in a way is broken due to the, I mean, broken probably is just a misleading word. There are some challenges in interpreting IFRS 5 we are not able to solve.
Very politely put.
This we detected over the last 2 years or so. And with regard to that, I mean, consider a case where a company get diluted. So in a way, it is obvious that control will be lost, but we are not in IFRS 5, potentially not in the application of IFRS 5. So also in these cases, we have to consider what are the effects with regard to cash flow hedging and with regard to the classification of the financial instrument. So the topic in itself is much broader than just IFRS 5.
Yeah. Last quick comment. Just circling back to what we'd said this morning, I mean, from what I've heard, I think most of us kind of don't necessarily disagree with the technical analysis. It's that we're saying we think diversity is out. That to me leads to, I mean, if I had to put it simply, I think that's a great agenda decision. Because, I mean, if we, you know, and on some of these, you know, I'm saying that, I don't know if the board have ever considered that's a way to communicate as well. We know people are looking at them, or at least some people are. And if we don't disagree with the technical analysis of what we said, well, then maybe that's the answer, to go and say, there's the mechanism to get it out.
Yeah.
I know me saying an agenda decision. strange things.
Write that down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Please forget that.
I take it.
I think it's just something building on what Martin and Bonnie said, that it's potentially a broader issue. Is it worth just thinking about whether there are any other circumstances where you might get to a similar place? So if there's going to be an agenda decision, there's going to be educational material, whatever it turns out to be, that we don't inadvertently leave something that might have a similar implication out. And so people are saying, but you told us what to do with cash flow hedges and classification of financial assets. You didn't tell us about this one, so the answer might be different.
Yeah,
Bob's already mentioned.
That was my own point about intent. Any place in the literature there is intent.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Exactly. I think about feeding it back to the board. I think that will probably be a helpful thing to do.
And I think we'll need to work out whether there's bits that we think are more urgent than other bits as well. So I think being clear on what to do with what perspective to look at for business model in 9 is something we probably should do sooner rather than later. But yes, the other strands I think we could look at more comprehensively.
Sorry, just maybe one follow-up is, once this goes to the board, I guess given our comments and thoughts and considerations, what would you envision to be the next steps? Or that's a TBD depending on where the board discussion goes?
It depends on what the board says,
mm-hmm.
but we'll circle back and give you the feedback on that.
Okay.
Come back to the committee and give a feedback.
Just in light of our conversation this morning.
Okay.